Alison will start off our selection of the letters that have come into the paper this week.
Football stories came up repeatedly in the evening news in recent days. Despite the loss to Ipswich Town, Nicholas Dixie thinks the manager Liam Manning should be given more time. He says, Liam Manning has been presented with a group of players that he hasn't chosen and told to turn them into a Premiership side instantly. Unsurprisingly, this policy hasn't worked and some people are baying for his head. It's not his head that should roll. He's a proven success at Championship level. Mr. Thorup, another proven success, was told to build a side and that he had time to do it. When this did not yield instant results, in contravention of this instruction, he was sacked. At Ipswich Town, they hired a manager 4 years ago. It took him 2 years to gain promotion. At relegation, he was retained, and the team is looking good to go back up again. This rather more mature approach seems to be working. At Norwich City Football Club, the top management of the club appears to be looking for a magician, someone who can point his wand, shout Premier Ratio, and everything is wonderful, no matter who's playing. Sadly, life's not like that. Mr. Manning needs time, and he should be given it.
Anthony Hudson of Norwich is very disappointed with the proposed changes in seating at Carrow Road. And not just that. I'm wondering if Norwich City Football Club really respects its fans at all. I'm now 76 years old and have been a fan since the age of 7, when my dad used to take me into the River End and sit me on top of the upturned railway sleepers at the back. I currently have 4 seats in the Low Regency, as it's now called, where my son, 2 grandsons and myself all sit together with a great view of the pitch. We've just received letters stating that next season we have to move so that the away fans can take our seats. I have sat in these seats for years, as have all the people around us, and we see us as the Saturday family. I fail to see any reason why the away fans are to be moved to a far better position at our detriment. Surely where these fans are now is the best situation, as they are nearest to the away fan coach park. The new position will mean that the away fans will have to mingle with all the home fans whatever way they leave. God help us when the home derby comes around after this season. Our club has the most expensive programme, the most expensive season tickets and general tickets in the Championship. We also have to pay more for our half-time pint and pie than any other club outside London. This is the way our club treats its fans, and don't get me started on the events on the pitch.
Ian MacDonald of Billericay was amused to learn about a football fan who went to the wrong Bury to watch his team play. Many people, although certainly not everybody, will have been tickled pink to read about the Spalding United footballer who mistakenly travelled to Bury, Greater Manchester, for his team's match against Bury Town, when he should have gone to Bury St Edmunds instead. After an unscheduled 7-hour, 200-mile trip around the country, he managed to arrive in the right place for just the last couple of minutes of the game. It's rather surprising that his team doesn't seem to have had any discussions about where they were playing next or about travelling together to the game. Even more unusual, perhaps, is the fact that the player in question thought that a team from the Greater Manchester area was likely to be playing his side in the Southern League Premier Central League. To err is human, but let's hope there are no similar misunderstandings when Spalding play St Ives in March. That's St Ives in Cambridgeshire, not the one in Cornwall.
Roger Rowe of Norwich wrote in about a different controversy, the squabble over management of the newly renovated halls. As a lifelong time resident of Norwich, with a keen interest in the arts, I've developed a strong affection for St Andrew's Hall, with many happy memories of some great musician events, especially during the Norfolk and Norwich festivals. It may not be the ideal concert venue, but it's the only one we have, and it's has the remarkable distinction of being home to the second oldest music festival in the country, and the only one still using the original hall. Its long overdue renovation and repair is welcome, and it's not surprising that a building of this age comes up with some unpleasant surprises, leading to increased costs and longer contracts. It's therefore alarming to hear that at this late stage we should be mired in controversy about who should manage it. I've no knowledge of the ins and outs of the negotiations, but it does seem to me that the council's decision to place it in the hands of the Arts Centre after two assessments should have been accepted by the Theatre Royal rather than end in this squalid squabble, which is in no one's interest and portrays the city in a poor light nationally. The important thing now is to get a firm opening date fixed so that the local and national orchestras and other organisations can plan for the future.
And finally, Steve Mackinder of Denver, a regular correspondent to the Evening News, was shocked by a local store that refused to take cash. How many of us find ourselves compromised in a shop when the owners choose to insist on card-only sales and literally shun customers who proffer nasty old cash for their products? As someone who really doesn't like the relentless march of digitised money, I will belligerently faff about with notes and coins if I feel a cashier is getting impatient with my dinosaur attempts to pay with cash. Who hasn't ordered a couple of pints of beer and found vaguely disinterested bar staff waving their ubiquitous little card reader without even saying what the charge is? This surly and automatic assumption that A, you're paying by card and B, you don't care what you're paying is both insulting and dismissive. Frankly, these scruffy attitudes trigger a kickback from yours truly, and I'm very likely to boycott the shop or pub and brief others too against this modern tyranny. If you don't want my money, that's cool. I'll find someone who does. Here in Downham Market, we've encountered our first cash denier, who proudly notes at the door it's a no-cash system they've chosen to adopt. And while it's a free country, I've chosen to take my business elsewhere, where my cash isn't sniffily dismissed by some achingly trendy, aspirational shopkeeper. And I simply buy my buns elsewhere.